seeking the Lord's help for a little while this evening and your very prayerful attention, turn with me to the chapter we read, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, and reading verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 to 16. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. In this text we have three that are speaking. In the 13th verse there is Isaiah as he sets forth the word of the Lord, that word of assurance and comfort. And then there is Zion, there is the church, there is the poor sinner that bemoans, that has that unbelief, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And then we have the Lord speaking in such affectionate terms. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. In the 44th chapter, we have recorded for us perhaps it's not the 44th chapter. Anyway, he speaks of a sing. Oh, in the 22nd verse. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. And as we sang that second hymn of John Berridge's, 897, ye poor afflicted souls, give ear who seek the Lord, but fear his frown. He says there, if sin is loathsome to thy heart and shows a most ill-favoured face, if guilt afford thee fearful smart, it flows from Jesus' love and grace. And really we have in the 14th verse, as the church's response, as Zion's response, as the sinner's response, there is that unbelief, isn't there? There is that unbelief. The Lord hath forsaken me. Why, but Isaiah has just proclaimed that sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Oh, but what circumstances there are that Zion comes into, the Church of God, collectively, as the members, individually, as poor sinners, as they go about their daily walk, trying circumstances of various sorts, all that the enemy would have to cast us down, to not hear these precious promises, these words of glorious comfort. The Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. But how precious that now the Lord speaks. Sometimes he comes at evening late, doesn't he? Sometimes when it seems that all hope has been lost, and that the Lord will never appear again, that the enemy taunts and says, yes, the Lord hath forsaken you, the Lord has forgotten you. But what love, what compassion that we have as the Lord speaks, in those tender terms, as he speaks of a loving mother with her baby. And he asks the question, doesn't he? He asks the question, can a woman forget her sucking child? It's not a grown child. He's actually speaking about the child that is completely dependent upon the love, the tender care of its mother. And he brings himself to that which he compares himself, the living God. Yea, but more than that, lest any should say, if he should say, no, a woman, a mother, she'll never forget her sucking child. Oh, but you that have been favoured with children and are favoured with children, why, there are those times, aren't there, when you need your sleep. You need your sleep, and there are that you'll be woken, won't you, from the cry of the baby, and not knowing how long the baby has been crying. But our God, he says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, yea, they may forget, not intentionally, but they're poor, they're afflicted, they're in need of sleep, they're in need of restoration, they're tired. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. What words of comfort these are, especially in the day in which we live, when there much easy believism abounds, and we are living in desperately, desperately solemn times, and we have many enemies, and there are those that seek our hurt. But oh, but our God, despite all of these things, he is in control. He is in control. And as the hymn writer says, not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Well, he says, behold, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. You know, in these days, and we have to remember when this was, that this took place, that the children of Israel, that they have been taken into captivity. They're in captivity for a period of time, a long period of time, 70 years. 70 years. And in those days, there was much sin, there was much worshipping false gods. They had been brought into captivity because of their sins, so that they were mourning much on account of their sins, as the Lord sought in his mercy to speak these words of comfort and assurance. But these that worship their own little gods, it was a practice to have the name of their God inscribed on their flesh. Such was their devotion. Their devotion to their false gods. But what a mercy, dear friends, to have your name, to have my name engraven upon the palms of the hands of precious Jesus. To have our names inscribed, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, they're in captivity. They're in captivity because of their sins. But how precious, dear friends, that yours and my sins, but for redeeming love and blood, we would be heading our way headlong into an eternity in hell. But his people, Zion, his church, his bride, his elect. Oh, this is precious, isn't it? This glorious doctrine of election. That none can pluck us from his hands, these precious hands. Not only are our names engraven on the palms of his hands, those precious hands were nailed to the cross. How precious, isn't it, that as a bleeding, suffering Saviour, Jesus, that as he made an atonement for sin, that as those nails were driven into the palms of his hands, your name, my name, I trust, was there, nailed to the cross, as that fountain was opened for sin and for uncleanness. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. There is a hymn of a top lady based on this. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Redeemed offender, hail the day that sees thy sins forgiven. Jesus has borne thy guilt away and pleads for thee in heaven. Imprinted on his hands thou art in characters of blood. The streams that issued from his heart shall waft thee safe to God. They're precious. For me, the great, the holy Lamb, his Father's wrath did bear. I see his feet and read my name. Oh, precious faith, isn't it? Do you bless God? Oh, that even when the eye of faith is dim, that you plead and plead, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. For me, the great, the holy Lamb, his Father's wrath did bear. I see his feet and read my name engraven deeply there. Oh, this is it. My faith looks back and sees him bleed. A thorny crown he wears to set upon the sinner's head a shining crown of stars. Thy righteousness my robe shall be, thy sacrifice my hope. For my offence upon the tree my Lord was lifted up. For me the Saviour's blood avails, almighty to atone. The hands he gave to piercing nails shall lead me to his throne. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Oh, and he goes on, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Oh, here they are, they're in captivity. Their sins have driven them into captivity, into Babylonian captivity. And oh, the grief of their beloved Jerusalem, that the walls have all fallen, they've all come down. Their beloved temple has been destroyed. And yet what is this? The Lord says, thy walls are continually before me. Oh, I don't see the walls that have fallen down. I don't see those walls that have fallen down on account of your sins. Precious are this comfort of this Redeemer, this Sovereign God. Oh, he says that I am not, my love is not dimmed, my love is not thwarted by your sins, by my sins, by your failures, by my failures. My love is constant. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness will I draw thee. He who hath begun a good work in thee will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so he says, behold, oh look, consider. Oh, open thine eyes, lift up thy downcast eyes, and see and behold the wonder of wonders, that yes, thou a poor sinner, a deserving everlasting judgment in hell, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness will I draw thee. I have redeemed thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And he ever has been so, hasn't he? As we read of the people's sins in Genesis regarding the wickedness of man, that we read in the 6th chapter, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Does it finish there? But, oh, this is it, isn't it? To the Lord's favoured people, to his elect, to his bride, to his church. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so as he gives instructions to Noah to make an ark of gopher woods, and we haven't time to go into the preciousness of all of that, but we read in the last verse of chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And then the next chapter opens, and the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Oh, he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And these precious promises, these words of comfort, these that tell us of his delivering mercy, these that Noah and his family and those animals were all brought safely into the ark. And the door was shut, and the floods came, and all were destroyed. But safety in the ark. Safety in the ark as the waters rose and the ark floated above. And so in Christ, there is that safety, there is that security as shut in with Christ. I am the door. And so as a poor sinner is favoured to enter in by the door, and that door shuts him safely in, and will see him safely through all of the circumstances of life. Often so distressing. Losses, crosses, bereavements, disappointments, misunderstandings. Oh, so many, many things. Blows from sinner, blows from saint, and most of all, our own wretched hearts. But, he says, the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Yes, dear friends, he sees to it that you will go into these trials. Yes, affliction is their lot. Earth is a polluted spot. The hymn of Kelly's 992, an afflicted and poor people, but through sufferings perfect. Now he reigns, that's our Jesus, as he suffered, as yours and my names imprinted on the palms of his hands, he nailed to the cross. through sufferings perfect. Now he reigns, and he, our great high priest, touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He shares in all yours, in all my griefs and pains. Poor and afflicted, but ere long they'll join the bright celestial throng. Their sufferings then will reach a close, and heaven afford them sweet repose. And so, dear friends, sometimes it is, isn't it, that the blessing, the greatest of blessings, is in the greatest of trying circumstances. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't saved from going into the fiery furnace, but blessed be God, they were saved in the fiery furnace, where they had sweet fellowship and communion with a precious Jesus. And that's it, isn't it? That it is as we're brought into these things that he reveals himself more and more to us. His love, his blood, his promises, and grants us from time to time, even in the deepest of trials, a sweet foretaste of heaven. Well, he has comforted. The Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And as in that well-known three verses, as that very solemn chapter recorded for us of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. But he finishes that solemn chapter with this: come unto me, come unto me. Oh, there's hope. There's hope even in our unbelief. The Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord hath forgotten me. Come, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, dear friends, what a comfort. What a comfort. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Oh, bless God. Chosen. Before the world began, before anything was made that was made. Chosen. Names engraved in the Lamb's Book of Life, engraved on the palms of precious Jesus' hands, at the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Redeemed. Oh, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, redeemed, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Oh, his atoning death, his atoning sacrifice, at one with the Lord. Oh, there is Adam and Eve, that their sacred communion with the Lord, with a holy God, was broken. They forfeited it. But bless God for this second Adam, precious Jesus, that he has restored. Oh, as is sometimes said, paradise lost, paradise restored. As he restored that way through his atoning sacrifice, as he was made obedient to his Father's will. And he suffered the just for the unjust. And so that for each of his dear people, that he shed his vital blood. And so that by his grace, we can come in with that glorious hymn of Irons, the last hymn in Gadsby's book, of those five questions asked, and the answer to them all, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Amen.